Hello, happy Friday to you all, and welcome to another ArsBlog ArsCast on arsblog.com, in association, as always, with www.oleole.com, which you can get to without the www. That's how good it is. It's the football community website, as I'm sure you all know. Coming up on this action-packed ArsCast, we have got for you Arsene Wenger Hawkins, the ArsBlog Culture Corner, Eboué's in there somewhere. We've also got some of your voicemails. Yes, it's true. And William Gallus's penis is around here somewhere.
Somewhere, I'm not sure, but...
not too close, I hope. He'll be along at some stage. As will Gilberto Silver from gunnerblog.com. A blog chat with him in which we discuss the Manchester United game a little bit, the AC Milan game more, and look ahead to the Birmingham game tomorrow. There's no man in the bar today. He hasn't got a player history, although he does feature at some stage, so keep your ear out for him. So what's happened since the last ArsCast, since we last spoke? Well, I say spoke, it's more me spoking and you listening, or lustening. Spoke, spake, spa, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, though. Well, there was the FA Cup game against Manchester United, which was shit, you have to say. Now, I did say last week I wasn't that particularly interested in the FA Cup this season, and I stand by that. However, I did not expect the team to go to Old Trafford and quite so blatantly not really give a shit about what happened in the game. I thought we might get beaten. I did think that beforehand, but I didn't think it would be 4-0. And even then, you can cope with a 4-0 defeat if the players at least tried their hardest. Which, you know, they didn't, really. Of course, one eye, perhaps two eyes, even three eyes were on the AC Milan game on Wednesday night. William Gallus was the captain. And we saw before when Gallus played in the Carling Cup against Spurs. And he didn't look like he was interested in the game. And that transmits itself to the rest of the players. And when the captain doesn't care, why should they care? You look at the difference when someone like Flamini came on, a guy who just cannot bear losing, who wouldn't dream of not giving 100% in every game, came on and charged around and did things and nearly killed Nani. That was good, but it wasn't fair for the fans, I thought, for the 9,000 Arsenal fans that travelled to Old Trafford. It's all right for the Manchester United fans that travelled from London to Old Trafford. They went home happy because they won. But what about the poor Arsenal fans having to stand there in that horrible place and travel all that distance and spend all that money? They deserved better. Arsene Wenger, I think, acknowledged that. During the week, he did say something along the lines of, yes, it was disappointing, but the team has given a lot to the fans this season, trying to, you know, make a little excuse, but you would expect better from an Arsenal side, especially against Manchester United. So we're out of the FA Cup, which ultimately may not be a bad thing. That means Manchester United have got at least one extra game. You'd fancy them to beat Portsmouth, which means they get another extra game, and we can concentrate on our own stuff, on not necessarily the Champions League, but on the league title, which is what I think this team should be achieving this season. Then, of course, we had AC Milan on Wednesday night, and it was, as we expected, a much different performance. A reaction from what happened at Old Trafford? Certainly. Certainly. But I think this was the kind of performance that comes when you're up for a game and when you try your very hardest. When you're not up for a game and you don't try your hardest and you play against a quality team like United, you get beaten, and you get beaten badly. I think we were unlucky not to go into the second leg with a lead. Obviously, Adebayor's header in the last minute of injury time would have made a big difference. But 0-0 is not bad. To go to the San Siro with a clean sheet means that a 1-1 draw will see us through, or a 2-2 draw will see us through. No English team, they keep telling us, has ever won at the San Siro, which is good for us because we don't have to win. We just need to match their score. A score draw will see us through to the next round. So it promises to be a very interesting second leg in a couple of weeks' time. Some standout performances against AC Milan. I thought Flamini and Fabregas were really excellent. In Clichy and Sanya, we've got two fantastic fullbacks. You have to say, Bakary Sanya was tremendously brave, and the sort of performance he put in, given the circumstances that he went into this game, his brother died last week, to have that focus, to have that commitment, it is just fantastic. So hats off to to Bakary Sanya. Kolo Touré out for a couple of weeks, it seems. Not the 4 weeks first feared, but Philippe Sanderos has done very well since he's come back into the side. When Kolo's been away in the African Cup of Nations, he came in alongside Gallas, has done well, came on against AC Milan, had a very good game as well. So it's nice to see him get back in the side and prove that he's a decent player after all. Anyway, moving on slightly, just before we go and talk to Gilberto Silva. Last week I talked to you about, you know, how we've got different ways of you to leave messages and audio bits and pieces for the Arsecast. Here's a few that came in this week. You're a strange bunch of people, you know.
I really like the Christmas Arsecast, where the man in the bar wishes death and pestilence on a few people. And every time I listen to it, I realize that he made some quite criminal omissions. So, without much ado, I'd like to suggest that the next time he wishes death and pestilence, you should remember people like Tim Sherwood, Andy Gray, Pascal Chimbonda, David Bentley, Lee Cuttermole, Chris Morgan, and Tom Huddleston. Have a good one, as blogger. Bye.
You know, blogger, you really are a bit of a cunt. I was at the Milan game last night, and every time Eboué touched the ball, all that was going through my head was, I am Eboué. So thanks for that. I don't think I'll ever be able to watch him play a game without thinking, I am Eboué. Keep up the good work. Cheers.
This is Lawal from Finland. I'm a Nigerian living in Finland, and I just feel this is the best place for me to die first. The loss of Arsenal to Manchester United, I must say, it's a really big defeat. I would manage with a 1-0 or 2-1. But I think a boy should be taken to jail. He should be jailed for what he did.
Hello, Arsblogger. Like you, I wasn't too concerned with the FA Cup game this last weekend. We have more important matches coming up. But I do wonder why, in the January transfer window, Arsene Wenger doesn't regularly buy one or two players just to make our bench a little bit deeper. Furthermore, like I keep expecting that he's going to do something silly like, well, today I will play Eduardo on top of Sandro's shoulders, you know, just to see what will happen. Because I don't get why you want to let people go and not bring in one or two to make sure that you can last through so many different competitions. Anyhow, that's what I'm confused about. Sorry for the extremely awkward Arsene Wenger impression.
Thank you very much to all our contributors there and for your voicemails and audio messages. There was a guy that left a poem. Sorry about that, fella, but it just couldn't get it recorded. I love the guy who was complaining about the man in the bar leaving people out when he's wishing death and pestilence. Tim Sherwood, yes. A cunt, Andy Gray, yes. Pascal Chimbonda, Chris Morgan, David Bentley, yes. But Lee Cattermole? What the hell did Lee Cattermole ever do to anyone? I suppose just different strokes for different folks, isn't it? Anyway, thank you a lot. And now, though, we'll move back to more footballing things and talk to Gilberto Silva from GunnarBlog.com. Hello, sir.
Hello to you.
AC Milan on Wednesday night, as a performance, couldn't have been really much different from the one we got against Manchester United at Old Trafford at the weekend. Arsene Wenger said the team were up for the FA Cup game, but quite clearly they weren't. Are you happy enough to sacrifice the FA Cup for the greater good this season?
I think so. I mean, to an extent, though, I think that applies to the Champions League as well. My attention is, like yours, I understand, primarily on the Premiership, and anything else does feel like a bonus. I understand that for the players and the manager, the Champions League comes above the FA Cup in this sort of list of priorities. Though, you know, both to me are sacrificable. But I think it was clear in the performances that the players' minds on Saturday were very, very much on Wednesday.
Is there a danger, perhaps, then, of having been so up for this game, that the focus is lost a little bit ahead of the Birmingham game at the weekend? Because, like you say, the league, I think, is the big one this season. The Champions League would be fantastic, but this team is a team that needs to go through a league season and show that they're the best team in England. Birmingham are dangerous enough. We saw that when they came to the Emirates. We had a little bit of an off day, but they're capable of good results. The focus has got to turn very quickly away from AC Milan and back onto the league.
I think so, and I whilst that is my point of view, that it's the league should be our focus this season, I'm not necessarily sorry, I'm not necessarily certain that the players feel the same. You know, the Champions League is a very prestigious competition. It's one that every player wants to say they've won come the end of the season. Some of the players, not very many, but some of the players in our squad have already won the Premier League, but not the Champions League. The likes of Gallus are included in that. And I think that their focus may be more split than that potentially of the fans. Birmingham is not an easy game, so it's absolutely vital that we don't let anything carry over from Wednesday, apart from our good performance.
Let's go back to Wednesday then. We were unlucky, I think, in terms of the scoreline. Performance-wise, I think we showed Milan that we're more than capable of going out there and getting a result.
I completely agree. I thought it was, especially in the second half, an excellent performance. If we had won by a couple of goals, I don't think many people would have been able to argue with that. You know, Arsene said in a usual match that would have been 3-2. I'm not convinced it was. I actually think the margin of victory for us was, you know, in terms of the manner in which we played, was greater. Sadly, as we all know, that doesn't really count for anything because we had a couple of seasons of playing incredibly well, not really winning that many games. It hasn't been like that this season, but it was a bit of a flashback last night to that frustration of not being able to stick the ball in the net. But I think that if we go out there with a similar mentality, I don't think we can sit back and defend in Milan in the way that they did over here. I don't think our defence, frankly, is as good as theirs. But if we go and we try and put them under pressure for a few sustained periods, I think we've got a real, real chance. And one goal would be so valuable out there.
Is it a case that maybe the young legs versus the old legs is a factor? Because we saw towards the end of the first half that we began to create a bit of space, and certainly late on in the second half, it was all Arsenal. Is the fitness, is the youth of our team going to be a factor out there?
I think so. I mean, I think momentum played a big part. You know, the pressure increased as the game went on. But it is very likely. I mean, it's no fluke that a lot of Arsenal's goals this season have come in the last 10 minutes of games, or towards the end, certainly. We've developed patience, so we know that, you know, as the game goes on, we needn't panic. There is every chance that we will score. And to be honest, last night, but for a miracle miss, that would have happened. And I think that perhaps age has a part. We certainly are one of the fittest squads in Europe. I do believe that the way that the likes of Kleb or Adebayor can still produce those sort of sprints in the last 10 minutes of games is quite amazing. Clichy and Sanya, of course, are astonishing with their stamina. And Milan do have a lot of plus 30-year-olds, and that could be another factor. The key is that the second leg could be an entirely different game. We do not know, but certainly the signs are there that we should be able to get something out in Italy.
Okay, let's move away from that a little bit and talk about somebody who's polarized opinion in the last 7 days. Emmanuel Eboué, clearly not a right winger, not much of a right back either. Has some talent as a footballer, but you worry that there isn't enough going on between the ears for him to ever sort of achieve the potential that he would need to achieve at Arsenal, to become a regular at Arsenal. Is he in the team more or less by default because we don't have anybody else to play there?
I think so. I mean, we do have others. We do have Theo Walcott, but I don't think it's been the best season for Theo. And I think that Eboué, you know, Rizitsky would have played last night if he were fit, but with Rizitsky, that's always a gigantic if. Van Persie would have played if he were fit. But if you looked at our flanks last night, we had Eboué and Eduardo. And to be honest, I'm not convinced that either of those is, you know, a viable option on the wing. I think that Eduardo is clearly better suited to play up front, and Eboué is better suited to being a substitute. He is not a right back because his defensive awareness, as Bakary Sagna has shown this year, many people thought, we've got Eboué, we've got Hoyt, we don't need a right back. Sagna has shown what a quality right back looks like, and Eboué is not in that league. He's got attacking ability. He does have the ability to go past players and put in a good cross. but it never seems to be applied. I mean, it's unfair slightly to say that the right-wing experiment hasn't worked because, you know, we're still within the first few months of it. But I'm not convinced. When I look at Abue on the team sheet, I feel like he is a replacement. I don't feel that he's in the same quality bracket as the rest of our players. And, you know, I think that is something that come the summer should be addressed.
That is a question, isn't it? Because you look, like you say, with Eduardo, who does struggle out left. He works hard and you can't fault his effort. And Bue's performance against Milan was certainly a lot more dynamic and a lot more focused than the one against Manchester United. But the addition of a quality wide man, at least one to the squad, could bring this team on to another level.
I agree. That's from the footballing perspective. But I think there is another side to the Bue thing, which is that I think a lot of fans don't particularly enjoy having a Bue in the squad because he's something of a hate figure, I suppose, for the rest of the Premiership. Not in the sort of Robbie Savage way, but more in the sort of Cristiano Ronaldo way. You know, the diving, the petulance. I don't think our fans enjoy having a player who is sort of so widely despised outside the club and to an extent inside it. And I think that that is a factor that many people would not accept a lot of his conduct and find him, you know, dislikable for that reason, not just what he does with the ball at his feet.
All right. Quickly, prediction for the Birmingham game. You confident that we can pick up 3 points?
I am confident that we can. I'm not yet confident that we will. Birmingham are a good side, but all things being even, we should win. It's very important that we do win to put that bit of pressure on United with an 8-point lead.
Okay, Gilberto Silva from GunnerBlog.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to Gilberto Silva from GunnerBlog.com. What is going to happen when Gilberto Silva leaves Arsenal? What kind of position does that put Gilberto Silva from GunnerBlog.com in? His name will be redundant. No more can we bask in the glory of such a marvellous pun on his name. What is he going to do? He'll have to close down and open up again as Gunner Blog 2. But what name will he pick? How is he going to do? Perhaps he could pretend to be a young English right winger, but at the same time a really old guy. And he could call himself Theo Walcott. Yep. There goes the tumbleweed. Anyway, one man was not impressed last Saturday night, not necessarily with Arsenal's lack of performance, but with one Portuguese Manchester United player's showboating, shall we say. Arsene Wenger Hawkins has an open letter to Nani.
An open letter to Nani. Dear Nani, I watched the FA Cup game between Manchester United and Arsenal and I witnessed your ball juggling skills. At first, I was surprised because I thought to myself, honestly, how could somebody that looks like a cross between Michael Jackson and Terence Trent D'Arby Zanis have the cheek to try something like that? Then I thought to myself, I would like to kill him. So, in the interests of fairness and openness, I am going to tell you how I would kill you if you ever do that kind of thing again. Firstly, I would capture you and then strip you naked. This would be functional, not sensual, before you get any kinky ideas, you randy little cunt. Then I would tie your arms and legs in a crucifixion style so you could not slap or kick. Then I would get an electron microscope and once I had located your penis, I would insert a small funnel down your Jap's eye. In the top of the funnel I would empty an industrial-sized carton of soldier ants. Then I would put on a soothing long-playing record. Perhaps Doolittle by the Pixies, get a big glass of whiskey, spark up a fat one, then watch as those ants devoured you from the inside out. Should the ants somehow not be enough, I would make you drink my urine bag, which the doctor assures me is amongst the most poisonous substances on earth. So, in order to avoid this painful death, I suggest you keep your ball juggling to yourself, at home, you Kleenex wasting wank hammer. Yours, Arsene Wenger Hawkins. P.S. Tell that Anderson cunt I'm going to do him as well.
He's a man you do not want to cross, Arsene Wenger Hawkins. Normally, he's not so polite. Sending a letter, giving that kind of a warning, allowing Nanny to hire some security, bodyguards, install fences, laser beam security systems around his Cheshire mansion? Nuh-uh. I suppose this time he just figured he's a young guy. Maybe he made a mistake once. I'm pretty sure that Arsene Wenger is giving him far too much benefit of far too much doubt. He is a wee little cunt and deserves a good kicking. It's such a shame Flamini didn't tear him in two with that tackle and get the ball, of course, at the same time. Speaking of Flamini, I'm becoming increasingly worried, I have to say, about his contract situation. He says he wants to stay, he hopes to stay, he'd like to stay. But what? But what? Signed a contract? Or can we not just give him extra money or something? Can we not perhaps sell Eboué?
Now it's time to be at home with Emmanuel Eboué. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to my home. I am Eboué. Eboué like color. Top tree Eboué color. Number one. Red. It's happy day for Red Devil when Eboué get red card. Number two. Green. Green is color of Eboué nose food. Number three Eboué color. Purple. Because Eboué only want to see you, baby, in the purple rain. You go now.
Tune in next week for more At Home with Eboué. Oh, baby.
And then use whatever we pay Eboué to give it to Flamini. If it's a money thing, perhaps it's his lack of a good song. But then Cesc doesn't have a really good song. Maybe we could give him Alex's song to be his butler or something. I don't know. What else could it be? Does he want a better parking space? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is the longer this goes on, the more worried I am that Matthew Flamini could take advantage of the situation he's in and leave in the summer, which he's perfectly within his rights to do. And given the fact his contract was allowed to get within 1 year of leaving, of course circumstances were a bit different. He wasn't in the team last season, and this time he's come along and shown us exactly what he's made of and what sort of a player he is, and someone who's become very vital to this Arsenal team. And I think he could go a long, long way if he stays with us. I think if he goes elsewhere, his career is going to go completely and utterly down the tubes. Someone should make sure he hears this. I've consulted a tarot reader and a future-telling person and a psycho. No, what are they called? Psychic, that's it. And also a seer and a medium. And they all say that if Matthew Flamini leaves Arsenal, it's all going to go terribly wrong. They didn't all say it in that voice. One of them was a lady. But it's all going to go terribly wrong. She didn't say it in that voice either. Just sign the contract, Flamini, will you, please? For God's sake. Please. A little bit of culture now.
This is the Ace Blog Culture Corner. Get it into you, you geebag.
Welcome to the Ace Blog Culture Corner, where we endeavour to bring a little substance to your football-filled lives. But what is culture? We think immediately of art and museums, music and literature, performance and the stage. But culture goes beyond that. Although purists would have us believe otherwise, something as crass and asinine as advertising can stimulate and inspire us, become part of our culture. Coca-Cola would like to teach the world to sing while Ronald McDonald sits on, loving it. Today, on the Arseblog Culture Corner, the man in the bar recreates one of the seminal advertisements of the 1970s. An ad so arousing and thrilling, even now it brings a tingle to an old man's groin. You may begin.
Only the crumbliest, flakiest chocolate! Tastes like chocolate never tasted before. Yeah.
Would anybody like to take a bath with me?
That was the Ace Blog Culture Corner. Come back for more next week, you muppet.
I hope you're all suitably culturefied after that. Looking ahead to this weekend, because that's pretty much all there is left to talk about, we play Birmingham City at St. Andrews. Of course, they came to the Emirates not so long ago, only a few weeks ago, and scabbed a point from the game. We didn't do enough to win that day. We've got to put it right tomorrow. There is a good chance, you see, to go 8 points clear of Manchester United, who are playing, but at 3 o'clock they play Newcastle at St. James's Park. So we can pretty much guarantee that that's 3 points for Manchester United. However, were we to go 8 points clear, then that would put just a little bit of pressure on them. And Kevin Keegan has to win a game at some point, doesn't he? He got beaten 4-1 by Villa. He got beaten by Arsenal a couple of times. He got beaten by, I don't know, Gateshead Boys Club in a behind-closed-doors training game. You don't tell anybody about that, but, you know. At some point, though, you have to win a game. Just has to happen. Could it be the game against Manchester United? No, it won't. But we can but dream. Chelsea, of course, playing in the Carling Cup final this weekend, so we can put a bit of extra distance between us and them. And in terms of the game itself, I hope that Tottenham kick the fucking crap out of them. Seriously, I don't particularly care who wins the game. I'd prefer Chelsea to win, I think. But I hope that it comes at a terrible, terrible cost to ankles and legs and human life, even. I'm sorry, but that's just how I feel. Team news. No Kolo, obviously, because he's got the injury. No Eboué, because he's suspended. Rosicki and Hleb, I believe, are in some kind of cryogenic lab. We are replacing all their bones and ligaments and muscles with state-of-the-art manufactured man-made fibers and materials that don't break, they can stretch, they don't snap, they don't, you know, tweak, they don't strain, nothing. We may not get them back until 2011, but they'll be able to play till they're 45. Theo Walcott could figure, and I suppose if Almunia is fit, the manager has got a decision to make between him and Jens. Jens has done all right since he came back in. I thought he looked a bit slow, made a couple of good saves against United, but a bit slow. So I would be tempted to bring Almunia back in just because he's younger, more athletic, makes more saves and can kick better than Jens at this stage. So that's something for the manager to think about, but we will get more team news later today. So keep your eye on the news feeds throughout the afternoon and hopefully we can go there nice and early on Saturday morning and pick up 3 points. That would be lovely. So that's about it. Until next week's Arsecast, take it easy. I'll talk to you then and talk to you all next week on the blog, of course, as well. Goodbye.
Hello, I am the penis of William Gallas, and I have been sent to explain what happened at Old Trafford last weekend. I know we were not at our best, but these things need to be put into context. Imagine, if you can, the Champions League. She is like a beautiful woman, lying on a bed with silk sheets, with a bottle of baby oil in her hand. Then, if you can imagine, the league title. It is like this beautiful woman is joined by her identical twin sister, who have not only the baby oil, but a pair of handcuffs and some oranges. Then, you have to imagine the FA Cup. This is like going upstairs in a dirty squat where all the wallpaper is falling off the wall, and you go into the bedroom, and there, on the semen-stained mattress in the middle of the floor, with no other furniture, is Amy Winehouse, and instead of baby oil, she has got a great big lump of lard, which she is licking like some kind of seductive ass lolly, and your eyes can't stay away from her feet because they are bleeding. Why are her feet bleeding? I ask you, could you get it up for that?